Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Well, the elephant is in the room, and we're back with another episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8. Tune in now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. Say, little bitch, get it. You can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want to choose, and I'm quick.
Welcome to Milano. It's your favorite AfterBuzzers here with another episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8. I'm your boy, DJ Richie Sky. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky. Who we got?
Tracy Probst. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tracy Probst.
And I'm Russell Ray. You can follow me across all internet handles at Russell Ray Silva.
Yeah, yeah.
And we discovered a little fact today that while the world is loving this song, our engineer is not so fond of it.
Come on, DJ Jeff.
Call it out, Jeff.
I'm a hater. What can I say? I stand where I stand.
I said what I said.
He's not going to be spinning this in the booth anytime soon by himself.
Only by request.
Okay.
All right. So we'll go ahead and pick up with this episode. And of course, the beginning of the episode is really all about the packing because they're headed to Milan. So we got Melissa getting her normal closet critique by the kids and Joe. They once again don't like her clothes. Nothing new there. Marge is getting ready, but she's discussing the elephant in the room as well.
I'm still dancing. I don't really know.
So much.
Jeff, you sure you don't like this song? Or?
I think he loves it.
Maybe I secretly actually love it. It has played for 10 minutes.
Right. I think he's in love with this song, secretly.
You guys convinced me. What can I say? Y'all
that
are such
song
a
is
persuasive
the new
panel.
Elephant in the
room. Yeah, exactly. Such a persuasive panel, I think.
He loves But I Girl like we love Kim D.
I see.
To love hate it.
Packing.
Packing. I lost my train of thought listening to that song. Now it's going to be in my head all night. You can just play it randomly if you want to. So Marge is discussing the elephant in the room with... I love it. She's discussing the elephant in the room with Super Joe. No one's been together since the infamous dinner after the Posh Fashion Show. Siggy's packing and she only wants to spend time with Teresa, Melissa, and Dolores. She maintains that there's an elephant in the room as well. Lots of elephants everywhere. And Teresa's going to miss going to Milan without her parents. Anything you guys see that was new in this that I missed in this overall little section right here?
I mean, I don't like the fact that Siggy was planning her trip around anybody. Like, if I'm going to Milan, I'm not trying to plan my trip. Like, Margaret's going to be here, and I'm going to be here. I was like, no, Russ is going to be right over where Russ wants to be. I don't care where anybody else is standing. Just don't interrupt my moment.
Ooh, okay.
So, Siggy, you should not be planning your trip around somebody else's vibes.
I'm not mad at that. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. These trips are once in a lifetime because they are free.
Right? Thank you. Thank you, Bravo. Come on, you need to send the Bravo crew down to Milan next. We need to experience this firsthand.
Okay. All right, so the ladies arrive at the airport, and no one has mentioned the Posh Fashion Show or the dinner thereafter. You know, Melissa's just excited to be in Milan and have food popped in her mouth. Nothing new there. Dolores does give the room, once they get to Milan, to the beautiful hotel, Dolores does give her room that was next to Melissa to Margaret so that they could be closer. But secretly, she just wanted to snuggle up with Siggy. No surprise there.
Yeah, nah.
Mm-mm. The ladies split up and they head off for, you know, their different excursions. Margaret and Melissa decide to head off to, where did they go? I wrote it down. Spring Up Showroom. Because they're going to go look for clothes for Melissa's boutique. Dolores and Siggy head off to do who knows what, and Teresa and Danielle head off to the Duomo de Milano for remembrance of Teresa's mom and for drinks. Anything exciting happened there, guys?
Well, there are cathedrals that are not in Rome. Still in Italy, as Melissa.
Note to Melissa.
Note to Melissa. About. Get it together.
You know, okay, so let's just be real. To me, the first maybe 15 to 20 minutes of this episode was very, very difficult to recap because really nothing much happened.
Boring.
I mean, honestly, like I never say this, but it was kind of a snooze fest because it was really just procedural. Go pack your clothes. Go to the airport. Get on the plane. Get off the plane. Go to the hotel. See beautiful hotel. We've seen this a million times. Exactly. It's fascinating, but it's really nothing new. There was nothing here that really moved the story forward.
I mean, I did get a good one-liner. The higher the hill, the better you feel. I was like, go ahead, Margaret.
You know, Margaret is always good for a one-liner.
What's wrong with the puns?
Good for a one-liner.
And she popped the champagne and just ruined the comforter.
Girl, how have you never popped champagne?
She doesn't drink.
But didn't you just do that just for fun and let everyone else have it? Like, who hasn't popped a champagne bottle?
I mean, low key, I want to pop it and make it pop out like she did.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to do
like
that.
A waterfall.
And then I want to just spray it.
Calvin Harris style.
Finale. Season finale right here.
I know, ooh. Right? I'm totally doing that. Let me see if I... Because I made some notes about everything. You know, when the ladies split up into their different groups, I just kind of... We'll go down a rundown of exactly what happened. Teresa and Danielle, they discuss, again, the elephant. I don't know how many times they said elephant in this episode, but I feel like I wrote it just about every time they said it. Because I was like, oh, how many times? Is that what it was called? Do we know? I don't know. But anyway, Danielle wants to get along with everybody. But, of course, the elephant in the room. You know, she's still upset about Dolores getting in Melissa's face. And, you know, Siggy not standing up for Teresa and Melissa in front of Kim D. Nothing new there, really.
Yeah, no.
With Siggy and Dolores, they're upset about Margaret and Danielle for God knows why. And Siggy's upset about the Hitler comment. This Hitler comment really disturbs me because, not because Margaret said it, but because I think we all know that this was an analogy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I feel as though, and maybe, I don't know. I really don't know. Am I not being sensitive about this?
No, I think Siggy's always painting herself as the victim. So anything, she grabs at straws. It's like, it's exactly like Margaret said, she deflects. She deflects everything away from her. So, no, I mean, like, oh my God, my father survived the Holocaust. And what, okay, that's great, but what does that have to do with anything that we're talking about? It was a complete analogy. It's like, oh my God, you look like a cucumber. I ate a cucumber this morning. Like, has nothing to do with anything. Okay? Like, I'm just saying.
I tried to hold such a straight face like, on that one. I couldn't.
I can't.
It took me a second to get it. And I was like, really?
That's the point. It's the dumbest. Like, a dumb analogy that you take personal. So.
What are your thoughts?
I'm just over it. Like, get it together. You know, you're grown women.
I just felt like it was... That was a reach.
It's foolery.
That was a huge reach. Margaret and Melissa, you know, they get to the showroom. Melissa's still kind of worried about dinner tonight, but in the meantime, she's going to shop for her store. What did you think about the fashions at the store? I mean, would you buy those
yeah,
items?
Yeah, I thought they were really cute. I think she was buying everything first.
Oh my God,
I liked it.
So, yeah,
let me get your fashion recaps. What are you guys thinking about the clothes?
Oh, I really liked them. I liked them a lot.
You're
my favorite was like the jacket. Yeah.
You're the customer.
The black jacket?
Yeah.
I like the black jacket.
Okay.
Now, there was like some of the sweater stuff that I was like, that's a little too fringy, a little too like.
You don't like the fringe on the sweater?
No. If it looks like my grandma, if it looks like a doily, no, thank you.
A doily?
Pass on the doilies, thank you.
What is the definition of a doily?
A doily is like a, I don't know.
It's like lace, though.
It is lace. What it is, it's
is
like...
Is it just a pile of lace?
It's knitted lace, and it's like in a design, and usually, like,
it's on a coffee table.
It's on a coffee table under a lamp.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Mexican or, like, any Latin descent, like my family, we put it under things so it doesn't scratch our furniture, because that's how we do it.
So you guys have lots of doilies laying around.
We did, and then my mom packed them all up. She's like, I can't do this no more. She's like, Mom,
I feel like then they're collecting dust.
Yeah, that's what really what they're doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they look like, think of like a material snowflake.
I have a doily on the screen right now if you guys want to look.
See, it looks like a snowflake.
For both me and the fans.
That's the doily. And that was not what the sweater looked like.
How did you get doily from that sweater?
Because like if you take the thick parts of that doily and like you put it like as a pattern down your shirt, like that's what it was. It's very like, doily-ish.
And you two are reaching, Siggy.
And I'm there. There's plenty. You know what? Such a, you guys.
You know what? If anybody agrees that that sweater, and you all know which one we're talking about, look like a doily, please vote in the comments.
Yes.
I didn't see it.
I liked the clothes. Did you like the clothes?
I thought the clothes were nice.
I'm talking about the sweaters that were hanging on the racks, not the ones that they were pulling off.
She held up that sweater with that you're talking, the doily sweater that you're talking about.
Not the one with like the cat's tail on it. That was like a, I don't know, whatever. Take a straw.
I really can't wait to hear what your thoughts are on the reunion fashions.
Look at DJ Jeff looking for a doily to wear later to the Christmas party.
It's like an ugly sweater doily. I can't. So, Marge can't pop champagne. We talked about that. Melissa doesn't know what a Duomo is.
Teresa makes her feel dumb. She's like, oh, yeah.
You know, Melissa's having a lot of those moments this season.
She is.
I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah, I like it.
Now that her and Teresa are close together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Marge does warn, well, actually, Danielle warns that it could get heated tonight. Actually, it's going to get heated tonight because the ladies are about to convene for dinner. I did not catch the name of the restaurant that was destroyed in this night's episode, but next time. Gotcha.
Can we talk about how nasty Danielle was this episode? Like, everything that she could do, she was just referencing innuendos left and right. Just nasty.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Thank you. Danielle, you nasty. That's why you were engaged 20 times. You nasty.
But so first, Melissa doesn't know what hangry means either. Now, I guess we probably shouldn't talk about not knowing the meanings to words, because I just didn't know what doily meant. Y'all didn't know what probation and parole meant.
I was calling the pellets poppers.
I didn't know either. But and you did.
Someone tweeted me about that. He's like, poppers? LOL. I was like, yeah, it was a good episode, wasn't it? I was so embarrassed. Whatever.
Oh,
our P
gosh.
Words. We didn't get our P words straight.
We all got to do better. The ladies do go into a private room, and we discover that Teresa likes hot wax.
Oh my God,
this was so weird
funny.
To me. I was
so
like,
weird.
What's happening right now?
I did that when I was five. Just pouring like the wax 5 years old, I would do
on
that.
On her hands.
Yeah.
She was so excited about it. She's like, oh, I love wax.
And Melissa's like, no, no. She's like, oh. Didn't touch her. Oh, oh.
And Danielle's in the back like, oh, yeah.
Is this
yeah,
what
wax.
One does at a restaurant?
Yeah, it's very classy. Very classy. That's what I would do. Pour wax on myself.
Speaking of class.
Yeah, let's go there.
Does anyone know what a rainbow is? Did you know what one was
oh
before
God.
Tonight?
I know what a McNasty
is.
I
forgot about that part.
I did not know what a rainbow meant. And for 2 seconds, I thought that she was going to demonstrate on that
bottle. On the bottle? Oh, my
God. I really
God.
Did. I was like, she's going for it. She's going to do it. It was like Jaws. I knew it was going to happen.
Dun, dun.
I can't.
I don't even know what to say about that.
I've never done it.
Probably
won't. Probably won't.
So. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm dying.
Just gonna throw that out there.
You know, I would go into exactly what that means for the people who maybe haven't seen the episode or for people listening in. And it's just something that
that we should talk about.
It involves
underage.
Lip gloss and phallic objects. We'll just leave it at that.
And colors.
Lots of colors.
Mm. Beautiful.
Actually, you guys were wondering, there is a book, a children's book called Rainbow Party, and it is all about that. It's a very controversial book, and it was banned in a lot of states. But
wait, what?
Written for middle schoolers.
Lies.
Yeah, the book's called Rainbow Party, and it's all about that stuff.
Wait,
Rainbow
is this like
party?
Was this like the book version of Family Life? You guys know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if I know what that is.
They like they gave you a little seminar about how your body works and how like a man and bodies works.
It was like in Sweden or wasn't it or whatever?
Yeah, but like now it's called Rainbow Party, but it's book version.
Probably.
Maybe. All I know is that like if you look at the top 10 most banned books, it's like To Kill a Mockingbird and all these classics.
That was a good book.
It is a good book, but you know, it's like controversial in schools. And then Rainbow Party is like number 3. It's like all these American, it's like Moby Dick and Rainbow Party and To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh my God.
I used to be an English teacher in case you guys didn't know that. And now I'm engineering. The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And now he's a DJ.
Love you guys.
Look where life will take you guys. Rainbow parties for everyone.
And now he's drinking 40 ounces in the booth. Because I'm just kidding.
Oh, we digress majorly.
It's okay. All fun.
You know, Teresa says that Joe has sent her an email, yada, 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 but he calls her a cheater. They all laugh. And I'm thinking, I thought she was going to use this to make a point. You know what I'm saying? Because it could have been a great segue as to why it was not a good idea for them to, A, walk in the fashion show or not support her in front of Kim D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that's where that was going. Yeah. No, they just all laugh about it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Then suddenly Siggy brings up the elephant in the room because that elephant is back. And, you know, she insists that she's defended Melissa and Teresa to Kim D. She emphatically, she has. Of course, Danielle hasn't seen it, but I was loving for Danielle at this moment. But Melissa also gives an example of exactly how she felt when Dolores got up in her face. And Dolores says she felt bad about it. Wasn't really an apology at that moment, but I think it was kind of good enough for Melissa. But suddenly, Siggy brings up the whole Hitler comment to Margaret. And this goes left so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I was really, like, I almost had to stop writing because I couldn't write and look at the screen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I really just, it suddenly escalated to her calling Margaret anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody in the room was shocked. I mean, I know I was shocked when I was watching it, so I felt like I was there. I felt like that was, she took it to a place where it just, no housewife should go.
Yeah.
Did you catch, though, that, like, Dolores even defended Siggy in that moment?
She did.
Because Margaret got up and she was like, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, don't lean over me. Don't lean over me. Like, I would have leaned all over you.
I would have pushed called you out of the way.
Yes. Pushed her out of the way.
I would have kicked the leg on the chair.
I don't understand. You know, Dolores tends to use her physical, like, she uses a physical stance when she's arguing with a lot of the ladies. And I've seen her do it in just about every single argument that she's been in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like when you do that,
you need to get punched.
You need to be corrected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because at a certain point, you know, you're going to come into contact with the wrong person.
Yep.
And you can be bigger than me, all, you know, as much as you like. It's still not going to stop my from connecting with your face. It's not. And I just feel like she needs to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, first of all, Siggy was completely out of line. And not to mention, I don't even think she believes that. It was just a, like, uber low blow. And then for Dolores to still back her up, they just don't like Margaret. And that's fine, but, like,
but they make it seem like Margaret doesn't like her.
I know. And that's,
and I'm like, what?
They don't like Margaret, but Dolores is like, she's kind of a bully.
She's a big bully.
Yeah, and Siggy's just kind of like, let's Dolores be her dog. Yep. And like, you know what I mean?
Totally.
She's the one barking, and it's just kind of very disturbing to watch. It literally brought me back to like Mean Girls, and these are really grown ass women.
Yeah.
It was really sad to watch, I thought.
And the names that Siggy was calling, you know, Margaret and Danielle tonight. You know, it's one thing to call someone a bitch, but I think it's the tone.
Yeah.
It just was really, so I don't know, it was disturbing to me.
I mean,
I think this argument was probably, for me, mentally the worst.
Yeah, me too.
It was just verbally abusive.
Yeah, it was mean. Like, and these girls have been mean, but it's like, this was mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
Laura should have got popped.
Yeah.
Definitely. She should have got popped out of left field. Danielle should have lunged over and just power punched
Margaret sat back down. Or did, like, that's what I couldn't figure out.
I
when
think
Dolores,
she was really, I think she was just really, really, that took her out completely out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think there's a point where you can argue with someone, but, like, suddenly it just, it becomes too much.
Yeah.
And
you
I
hit
think
fight
she,
or flight
had,
and
I think she just hit that point, and she just couldn't even do it anymore.
I said she was shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, guys, I think, as someone who's a casual fan of the show, do you think they took it too far? Like, should this have been put in the edit? Like, I'm just, it's interesting to me because I've never seen this reaction from you guys before on the panel.
I think they were maybe not as, like, the editing team might have been not as been as sensitive towards the Jewish community at this moment, because you called someone, oh, I wrote it down.
It's
hostility and prejudice or discrimination against Jews.
Yeah.
Like, that's a rough term.
Well, it's like what Margaret says, like, I don't know if it was in the I don't want to jump around, but it was like, that can destroy her life, her business, like, her reputation, her everything. So for you to take it there, like, you took it way too far.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any coming back from that, because once it's out, it's out.
But
so
Bravo kind of pushes the limit, though. Look at what happened with Kenya Moore when she said what is it? The non-trans.
Oh my God!
I forgot, like, the exact definition, you know, of it, but it means like you're not being sensitive towards the trans community.
I loathe. Actually, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I loathe what she said.
Yeah.
I think it was
distasteful.
Distasteful. But sometimes I do feel like with these shows, I'm in a certain sense glad we saw that, because we never it becomes such a focal point, I think, for what happens in the next, for the rest of the trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so had we not seen that moment, it would have been a, sometimes I love this and I hate it. Those moments that we don't see on camera and then everybody's arguing about it.
Right.
But we don't know
what really happened.
Yeah.
I'm glad we know what happened at this point.
We got to see Margaret say Hitler, and we got to see Siggy say anti-Semitic. And then you could kind of pick your side from there.
Right.
And I'm hoping the viewers kind of
understand. I hope so, too.
Well, I was going to say, do you guys think it's better that we see it in actuality, because this is supposed to be a reality show, so you're supposed to see everything into its full as context, or do you think that the editing team should be sensitive towards all the communities that are going to speak out about this? Because you're at a catch-22. You kind of have to give the whole story, but at the same time, you kind of have to withhold certain aspects because you don't know who's really watching these shows.
I think it's a hard thing because, you know, if you leave it out, again, you take out a big chunk of the story.
And we missed the point, yeah.
So, I think it's a good thing that they put it in. I really do. I just don't think we've seen a lot of, like, anything like that.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On
same.
A housewives show.
Same.
I've seen a lot of other things.
You just get the B word, the hoe, the
right.
whore, you know, the C word when it gets serious.
Yeah, I just think
but
that
this is like a slander.
To me, this was probably the ugliest side of Siggy that I've seen all season. And I feel like we've seen about 25 sides of her. So I don't feel bad about coming down on her for this, because I feel like she went really, really hard at this. She said a lot of nasty things to both Margaret and Danielle.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that it was warranted for either one of them. You know, I think that Danielle was basically just trying to tell her that, it, you know, she was making an analogy and she stuck to that point.
Yeah.
You know, even as, you know, Siggy's calling her a bitch and telling her to sit down.
Right.
You know, I think at that point, I am extremely, I wish that Danielle had flipped the table.
Yeah.
I would have flipped, the table would have been on top of her.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
If I had been there. Like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, Siggy was completely in the wrong. I literally, like, Siggy was just below the belt this entire episode. For honestly, this is not, I don't even want to say that. I was going to say, I hope all of her business prospects see this when she's selling an idea that's completely different. Like, wouldn't that be the number one thing on your mind? Wouldn't it be? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little smarter than her. But, like, you're selling positivity. You're selling, like, love, marriage, relationships, and this is how you're acting.
And it alters your brand.
There's nothing.
Completely. And I hope it does, and I think it's going to. So sucks for her. She won't be on Wendy Williams anytime soon. Okay.
Nope. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Not it was so much. I couldn't. I mean, essentially, all hell broke loose at this point in the episode, and you know, Danielle loses it, and she tosses some drinks and some food and plates backwards, but. I really wish she had tossed them forward but everything seemed to go backwards.
You know, it was kind of a mess of the way that she threw it. She kind of like tossed it up to the side, around.
I felt
around.
Bad for Melissa. Because I was like, all this is going on her.
It really was, though. Like, she threw it against the table. Like, if you're going to throw a drink, at least throw it at the person. Yeah. Like, the whole glass. Like, throw the whole thing. Just might as well go for it.
Well, she's quickly escorted out by either Teresa or security or somebody. I couldn't tell who it was.
I love her.
All I know is that they were exiting. And she had some choice words for Siggy on the way out.
I love how she tried to announce it in Italian and pronounce it in Italian. And it just didn't happen. Oh. She had, like, the thickest accent, American accent that I could ever have thought of.
And then, just like an episode of Basketball Wives, this fight continues outside.
Oh, my gosh, right?
I was like, oh, my God. Like, and so, if there's ever a point where I felt like I would have thought that these types of scenes were, like, fake, I think that would have, that moment outside totally kind of would have changed anybody's opinion, because I feel like the fight, like, the emotions were still running high outside. It looked like half of them still wanted to go at it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, this is the first time I feel like we've seen, you know, Siggy not, I mean, she's completely not backing down. She's still trying to go at Danielle for whatever reason.
Did you catch that Melissa had to grab her by the mouth?
Yeah.
She grabbed her by the mouth and she said, stop talking, please. Like, yeah. She covered her whole entire mouth.
Yeah, Siggy's. And this is why Italians love Americans, so...
There you go.
This is why any European country.
Any European country.
Because this is what we do.
Because this is how classy we are.
Well, the next day, all I don't even know where to go from there. Teresa, Danielle, and Margaret and Melissa sort of recap the night. And, you know, they discuss the fact that they're going to go on this canal tour. Danielle decides that she's not going to go. She's pretty shaken up. And, Siggy's not going to go either. So Melissa goes to visit Siggy and Dolores and, you know, kind of see where they are. She wants Siggy to come, but Siggy says she's not. And she agrees to talk to Danielle, which is surprising, actually. So the ladies take a tour of the canal. And Siggy called, for whatever reason, maybe because of all the yelling, Siggy's a little hoarse. And I wrote down in her deep voice, she calls Danielle, I think I want to talk. And so I'm like, okay, this is a step forward. But before we get there, Teresa makes a good point where she says that they need to start finding restaurants with a separate
door.
You know, because apparently, like, every time these ladies get together for dinner, it's literally an explosion.
Yep.
Like, I kind of wish every... like Housewives show was like that.
Do you?
I do kind of. Sometimes, like, I need at least.
I don't see the Beverly Hills Housewives fighting king like that. Like
Lisa Rinna?
Brandy. Oh yeah, Lisa did. I saw Brandy throw her drink.
It's very Hollywoodish. It ain't hoodish.
Taylor from season 2.
Still
fighting
not
with Brandy.
It. I still don't buy it.
Alison Dubois, first season.
I like
the
some.
Witchcraft lady. Yeah.
I met her. She bit my ear. I was like, what? Don't touch me, by the way. Yeah, we were at White Party in Palm Springs, and her name's Carlton, by the way.
Yes.
I stole the video on my phone. Probably shouldn't. But don't mess with Carlton. But she bit me. It was really weird. Anyways.
Poor Carlton. She's getting a divorce from her husband, I read.
Well, she probably put a spell on him.
I don't know if it worked. She should be putting love potions on him, right? No? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Witches, what do you think? Anyway.
Maybe she's anti-Semes, like Teresa said. Semes, what is it? Anti-Semes, what is it? I was like, you're a mess. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Dolores actually takes this moment to apologize to Melissa. It seems genuine. But then in her confessional, she kind of like throws a little shade and says she doesn't expect one back. I don't think she deserves an apology from Melissa. No. I don't.
She ruined dinner.
Apologizing for?
Huh?
I don't know what Melissa's apologizing
right, why would
for?
She apologize to you? Anyway, back in Jersey, all the men get together. For what? I don't know. Because I don't feel like they're friends. But anyway, they talk about Antonia and the fact that boys like her. And Joe makes the oddest analogy or, like, I don't know if this is an Italian saying.
We need help.
And Jeff, maybe you've heard of this. I'm going to read it. You gotta bend the tree when it's young, so when it gets older, it won't bend anymore.
You never heard that?
What I've does never that heard mean? That.
Haven't you? Do you guys know how trees get trained? Like, you know the ones that you have to braid and they grow up, the ficuses? You have to
you
train
can
them.
Braid trees?
Yeah.
You lie.
No. You can braid a ficus and then it grows up. If you also, if you can bend the tree to grow a certain direction, just like you can grow a square watermelon or a square pumpkin or like any shaped object, you have to do it while it's coming up because the plant makes space or goes into the direction of what you want it to go. It has to be weak enough, almost like cartilage and not like bone. That's what they're saying. I just schooled you. Bam!
How do you know this?
Can you walk me through what that means Sicilian. For this, though?
I'm the slow. Tree's young, so you have to train it.
Guys, I'm tired. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. What is it?
Like, you have to train it, or he has to train her to respect herself, because when she gets older, if she's already used to this way and living this way of life, he can't change it.
You That's know, this is Housewives, not Philosophy 101. I don't, like, come on now.
I'm still a fan for Joe.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, just say it.
And where is that? By the way, I titled each one of these husbands as they walked in the door. So I put the contract robber, the perfect husband, the 20th fiance, and the ex-cheater. I don't know if that was bad, but I was just like naming them as they walked in.
Can I say my favorite part about this?
Tell us.
Was literally Joe just being like, yeah, and we're sitting here talking about our kids and our wives are getting kicked out of restaurants. Like, they're worried about their 11-year-old and their wives are about to go to jail. I'm like, thank you, Joe. That's real.
Yep.
That's real.
You know, what happens in Italy and Milan doesn't stay there. Well, the moral of this scene is trust Antonio. That's what I got from this.
Yes.
And you have some news there. What do you got for us?
I do. Right before we talk about going into the canal, History's critically acclaimed series Vikings will premiere with a two-hour season premiere airing Wednesday, November 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern/Pacific time. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the Great Heath Army, while Lagertha reigns as queen of Kattegat. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for fictitious battles to come as Ragnar's sons, Jesus Christ, I sound like Teresa Giudice right now, plot their next movies after avenging their father's death. Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea, and Floki, who is suffering from the loss of his wife Helga, takes the sea, submitting himself to the will of the gods. This season is full of startling alliances and unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings fight to rule the world.
That was a great cold read.
I know it might not seem like the most housewives-y show, but there's so much drama and so much shade in History's Vikings.
It sounds like it.
It's a great show. I'd recommend it to anyone.
A lot of words that people don't know, which is just like Real Housewives.
Exactly. It's perfect. But Richie, Russ, let us know one more time when and where that's airing, because I really think everyone should catch it.
It's the two-hour season premiere airing Wednesday, November 29th, 9 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern times, so Pacific time.
9 p.m. on History, and we have a great after show here. Everyone who watches this show loves it, so check it out, guys.
Awesome.
It's Vikings on History.
Vikings.
And this is a critically acclaimed show by Michael Hurst, so Academy Award winning.
Well, speaking of...
Yes, Housewives.
Vikings and...
Drama. We head to the canal.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. And we meet the tour guide. His name is Emmanuel, and the ladies love him because he has great hair. But does he have great hair? Let's discuss.
He got thick hair.
I didn't see anything great about it. He had hair.
They didn't know if he had hair. They're like, let me see your hair. Do you have hair? Like,
oh, you have hair. It's great.
That's exactly what it was.
I think the visual they were trying to get to.
What made for the great hair? Was it because he had thick
head of hair.
Oh, okay.
So... Okay, so we have our viewers that are watching this now, right? But we have the people on the podcast listening in the cars.
Right.
So they're imagining when you say an Italian man with thick brunette hair, it's like the thing that all girls dream of when they go to any European country. Like almost like when you go to Spain and there's like a guy playing the guitar on the staircase and he's just supposed to swindle you into this lifestyle into... It's like this Italian Guido muscle man, whatever... Mm. Perfect colored eyes, nice hair.
I have learned so much this episode.
But what were they going to do if he didn't have hair? Were they going to be like, oh,
They're like, no. Damn!
Like,
You say look like Never Janet mind. Jackson, put more like Freddie Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know. What can you say? Risky. Buongiorno, senorita.
I love how, like, Teresa and Melissa go off to their little side, and she's like, he is cute, though. She's like, stop flirting with them. But then, on the picture, Margaret comes on the come up like this. Right now. I was like, oh, watch the contractor.
Getting in there.
The ladies are having a good time, indeed. They've discovered a man with hair. Back at the hotel, though, it's Danielle and Siggy, and it's time for a nice little chat. Siggy apologizes in her deep voice, and it actually seemed very genuine.
As it should have been.
Right. Although I really think the person she should be apologizing to is Margaret, but that's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
No.
But interestingly, I almost want to say Dolores should take a cue from how Danielle defends Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she actually, you know, she doesn't back down with her reasoning for being upset. She doesn't ever want to see red again. Don't do it, girl. You know, and Siggy goes on to explain that her main problem is with Margaret. But Danielle has Margaret's back 100%, and she essentially tries to re-explain to her that the Hitler comment was made as an analogy. And if you did not like it, there was a better way to tell her that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could have, you know, it really is all about tone. You know, and I think that, you know, Siggy has a problem with that. She has a very big tonal problem. So when she gets heated, she doesn't necessarily know how to just, explain herself. This hurt my feelings when you said this.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And her, the fact that she just doesn't like Margaret in general, I think she doesn't care.
That's the bottom line.
She doesn't care how it comes across.
That's really it. They keep trying to make it seem like Margaret has this issue with Dolores. But I think anybody in the viewing audience, Teresa can see it, Melissa can see it. Margaret doesn't have an issue with Siggy.
Right.
No, she doesn't. Siggy and Dolores keep blaming the editing as they tweet their lives away.
Oh, they are.
What are they saying? What is the editing doing?
It was to
them?
The factor of like they're done because we're not seeing all sides of everything. But I think the proof's in the pudding. I mean,
the words "anti-Semitic" came out of your mouth
several times.
That wasn't editing.
Like you said it. So
I know in our past episodes that like they've been talking about that we don't know the full entire side. I haven't seen her tweets from tonight because I haven't really looked because we've been talking to you, beautiful people. But I'm sure there's something to the matter.
Well, the highlights of the episode are the anti-Semitic comic, and this is probably the most disturbing thing that we've talked about today. So you actually said that we saw the words come out of your mouth. It wasn't like it was a voiceover. So, right. I mean, which side do I need to see?
Yeah, we pretty much saw the picture that we needed to see. So
let's see what's her name? Soggy. Let's see what she had to say about this.
Yeah. I mean, the fact she even said, like, you know, Margaret's like, my husband was Jewish, my kids are Jewish, like, I can't believe him. She's like, you know what, I know people that married Jewish people that didn't like Jewish people. I'm like, what are
and
you
it,
talking
it was right
about?
There that I was like, oh, no, she's going too far, she's going too far. And then she said it. I was like, oh, girl.
Off the cliff.
You didn't say it. Yeah. You didn't say the words. Please.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you want to know her,
what is she saying, though?
Her pinned tweet on the top of her profile says the pigtails and the pot puss fried her brain. How in the world is it okay to mock my hubby, my medical problem, my career, my name, my son, and then let Hitler roll off the tongue in a remark directed at the only Jewish girl at the dinner table discussing a charity event? I'm done. That's the one pinned, and that was posted several days ago. 1st. Yeah. So I'm trying to look at what she said about tonight, but if you have that pin, that's actually really important because Siggy's an avid tweeter. As I don't know if you guys follow her on a regular, but she tweets a lot.
Really reaching. And I think on a past episode that it was Andy Cohen that actually told her, of Watch What Happens Live, told her not to take this off social media.
Yeah.
Get off social media. Girl, get off of it.
Girl.
Don't you have clients or somebody that you need to be, like, mending relationships for?
She reiterated it 30 minutes ago that she's referenced the mass murderer to the only Jew on the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Girl, shut up. I can't do it with her today.
She said Kim D is not a mass murderer who killed millions upon millions of people. Her analogy was disgusting. And why didn't she look at Dolores and say it? She looked at the only Jew at the table who she has been coming at for months. First of all, you should not say Jew, because as a Jewish woman, you should know that that is very offensive in many ways, especially the fact that you're explaining this. So you should say a Jewish woman sitting at your table. So let's address that for a moment.
Yeah.
Boop. Okay. First of all, you should never call anybody a Jew, unless you're Joan Rivers, then you can kind of get away with it. But, you know, yes.
I just can't take her.
Just bite the bullet, issue your apology statement, and be done with it. Call your publicist, because obviously you're off the rocker right now, and they're
letting you call everybody. Call your manager.
Call everybody.
Call Tyrone. Everybody you need to call, girl. Because there's something
get
right
help.
About this. Yes.
Like, I really can't. The tourist, I keep calling them tourists in my notes, but Danielle, not Danielle, but Teresa, Melissa, Margaret, and Dolores all stop for lunch, and, you know, they have an interesting discussion. And, you know, Teresa flat out asked Dolores if she thinks that Margaret is anti-Semitic. She says no. I'm shocked, actually, that she actually said that. But I'm like, okay, obviously she has some level of reason within her at this point. However, she still has issues with Margaret. Like, she's still talking to Margaret like a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Literally. And so Teresa finally makes a good point. She says, I think you just don't like her because Siggy doesn't like her.
Right.
Which is actually, I feel like, the truth.
Yeah, Dolores had to, like, take a deep breath about it and then be like,
No, that's not true. It's true.
And just for the record, Margaret does support the Jewish community, because yesterday she said, Happy Hanukkah to all my friends and family on the holiday season, bringing us closer together with peace, love, and joy.
You take that, Siggy.
Take that. Yeah. I agree. Dolores just seemed very, like, defensive. And then especially her sitting there and schooling Margaret. Like, I'm talking to you. Don't look at Teresa. I would be like, I can put these
eyes wherever I want. I don't understand why someone hasn't just...
I don't understand either.
Popped her one good time. Yes. Like, she's taking her physical appearance a little too far.
I think if I was security, I might even body slam her. Okay. Like, during the fist fight. Like, oh, I had to protect you. Sorry.
The way she kind of stood up when Margaret was, like, really, really, you know, upset about that whole comment. She did the same thing to Melissa.
Yeah.
She actually did the same thing to Teresa when they were arguing at the dinner table about not defending her. She actually got up and, you know, waved her hand in Teresa's face. Every time she gets into any type of... And she did it to Danielle.
Yep.
The first time they got into it.
I think that's just...
It's an intimidating factor. Like, she's trying to intimidate them.
She's using physical... Like, her physical stance to intimidate the other ladies. But
it's a trashy learned trait.
Yeah. I was thinking the same... Like, where did you learn that? Did she learn it from her ex-husband?
You learn it from being around trashy people.
Yeah.
Am I calling her trash? Not necessarily. But you learn it from being around trashy people. Only trashy people get in your face.
Right.
Yes, she's calling everyone else zoo animals.
Yes. Bitch. What you do is you read and you adjust... When you're done, that's how you do when you're a classy lady. But when you have to get up in someone's face, that's very trashy.
It so much disturbed me about this episode, but I'm going to watch it again. I am.
I think that's the new tagline for the Housewives series, right? You put that on the poster.
But I'm going to watch it again.
I'm disturbed. Back at Siggy's room, Michael, her overlord, tells her that she should just leave because she's so upset. You know, and he's putting his foot down.
He always wants her home.
She's telling her one side of the story, and he's over it. But the only thing that he did say that I liked was, take your own advice.
I know, I thought, but hold on. It was followed by something that really wasn't that good. I just wish he had stopped there. Because I was excited. I was like, oh my God, he's going to tell.
Oh, really? And get rid of the toxic people in your, yeah.
Because she's the toxic person.
Yeah. Agreed. But she does need to take her own advice, though.
If he would have said to walk away from yourself. Take your own advice, walk away from yourself.
So we're left there. Slight little cliffhanger, I guess. What do we see happening next week? Any predictions?
They're riding bikes.
Yeah, we saw them.
Or After Buzz TV predictions.
Well, we saw Margaret confront Siggy and about the comment she made and ask her, do you actually think I'm anti-Semitic? And we don't know what Siggy says.
Well,
I think Siggy's going to say no. She's going to cry.
But spoiler alert, she's still saying it on Twitter.
Yeah, like she's obviously defending everything she did on Twitter. Not like, guys, this will be cleared up next week. Tune in.
But they do have to stay in character for the time being.
Really?
You know what I mean? Because it hasn't even aired on the West Coast technically
yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything.
She's very passionate about saying...
That's what I mean.
Like, do this and do that. Like... First of all, here we go back to the point that I made at the beginning of the show. Why are you focusing your efforts and your life around somebody else? Let it be. Right?
Good question. I mean, because one would think that you were so busy with your business and your retreats that you wouldn't have time for all this, right?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Because I don't really follow Siggy on Twitter. I follow her on Instagram. I can't stand it, but I still follow. I'm that guy. But I don't notice, like, Teresa or Melissa, you know, really getting into the weeds.
Feeding into it.
With what's happening on the show. I mean, they'll promote the show, it seems, but they don't seem to be, like...
Because they're OGs, like, they know.
Getting too far into it.
Yeah.
I feel like she is the only one who is really going there in a very Jacqueline-like way.
You know what I think what the issue is she keeps trying to explain herself, which in turn digs her into a deeper hole every time.
No.
Have you ever had that happen to you? Like, when someone like, offends you, but then they just kind of keep going, and you're like, why didn't you stop 10 minutes ago?
Right.
But you still keep explaining yourself? I think that's what she's doing.
She needs to stop. Like,
yeah.
Like, sincerely. Where is Vicky when you need her?
Do you think Siggy's going to go home?
Do I think she's going to go home? Probably not. I mean, it looked like she was in a lot of the, you know, episode for next week. So, I guess we'll have to see. I was kind of hoping she would go home because in the first part of the preview, they all looked like they were having fun.
Yeah.
And then I saw her.
Who knows? Maybe Nene will show up next week and body slam Dolores. Who knows?
Because, you know. Oh, my God. I am so ready for somebody to because... I just don't like that. I mean, she's done it with too many of them, and I just feel like somebody needs to really call her out on that. You can have an argument with somebody, but you need to stay over there.
Yeah. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Agreed.
I'm mad now. That's it. We gone. No, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of AfterBuzz TV. This is The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8, Episode 10. I am one of your hosts, DJ Richie Sky. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
Thanks for watching, guys. I'm one of your hosts, Tracy Probst. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Tracy Probst.
And you can find me all over the internet, Russell Ray Silva, across all handles. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. We'll see you next.
Like us, share us, comment.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.